This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, big TV star. Up early in the morning.
No, they call me the fill-in king.
No. you're
good,
a Friday baby. Regular, man.
Oh, that is right.
People look forward to seeing Bart Scott get up in the studio, all resplendent, in the studio. And I'm noticing getting a little more and more comfortable, a little more time to talk, give you takes. And you were absolutely hilarious today at times. You had them all laughing, which is the best part.
It's not
like that uncomfortable laugh either. It's more like, no, that's legit funny.
They told me that they finally opened up the suggestion box, and they had a lot of suggestions from you, so I appreciate you for that one. And guess what? We got suggestions for you guys because we want to figure out what the hell is going on, and today is going to be an exciting day. So, Alan, before I'm going to jump the gun, I'm going to give them the number. 1-800-919-3776 is where they can get on the hotline.
Right now.
Is it a buffet? Is it no? Is it a pre-made meal?
No, it's a buffet today because we got a little everything today.
Oh, I didn't know if we wanted to get, you know where you go.
NFL Week 11.
You know when you go to them fancy restaurants and they say what's on the menu and say it's a pre-made menu. This one you gonna eat what the chef feel like cooking today. But I tell you what, we could force feed them a little basketball because I know you're so hot on that today, Alan. I know you're so ready for it. It's so much going on, but this is what I'm worried about. It's always that glimmer of hope. And Knicks fans, they prescribe to the wish recipe, right? So they wish. They wish that this is going to happen. They hope that this is going to happen. They eat the wish sandwich. And sometimes you get the wish sandwich, it comes up empty. But God bless their heart, though. Today we get the wish because free agency is happening. We see guys opting out. Mm. We see veteran players that can impact. We see movement starting to happen. And we know that we got money. And we know we got draft picks.
Well,
those are recipes.
But isn't that the same damn thing as it is every year? That's why it's a wish sandwich. And I'm going to steal that line. Because you have two pieces of bread and you wish there was something in between. You have cap space and you wish you had a player who wanted to take it.
But here's where this wish sandwich can be a hope sandwich. And a hope sandwich is just a little bit better than a wish sandwich. Because you hope that what you saw on draft night, the willing and dealing, the insider information, the sliding up and down the board, getting exactly what you wanted. You hope that you can have a hope sandwich because you have hope. And that's what draft week gave the Knicks fans, gave them hope that they got adults running the organization now, that they hope that they got guys that are respected and have a plan, short term, intermediate, and long term. So maybe we'll see today if it's a hope sandwich or a wish sandwich for 2020 basketball season.
It begins at 6 o'clock, so the wishing and the hoping can still go on for another couple of hours at least, and rumors will abound. They already have involving the Knicks and obviously some pretty big names as well that could get moved. You know, that has been the way this has gone this week in the NBA, but I'm just here to, I can't help it because you just see there's so much hope and anticipation. And at times I feel bad because you have a lot of Knicks fans. And look, your level of desperation is now at 100, or as Bart would tell me to say, 100. Like that's where your level of desperation is at this point. As a fan of a franchise, you're just begging for any type of hope. You felt like draft night wasn't embarrassing. There are some people that want to point out different things about it. That's fine. Nobody's going to be ever 100% happy with a draft. But still, the most part, you feel like, all right, I like. And then yesterday, the preparation day of a couple of moves. The Ed Davis trade, which you're like another forward, but not really. Because it's not about Ed Davis, who's a good vet, good guy to have in a locker room if you keep him. It's a, like a less than $5 million salary. But it's two more draft picks. and it's two futures. So it's two 2023 draft picks. Now, remember on draft night when the Knicks had like the 33 pick and then they decided we don't really want it, so we're going to trade it. And they got a 2023 second rounder. And people are like, why the hell would you want a 2023 second rounder? Well, again, it's just a simple Google. 2023 is a very interesting draft.
Just Google it.
Why? Well, very simple. That's anticipated the first year that they'll go back to allowing the 18-year-olds back into the league, where you can draft the high schoolers. This is a year where now the Knicks have two first rounders and four second rounders. Now you have some capital that is very valuable to a lot of teams. Ability to move up, packaging picks, all that stuff. It could be valuable to you. It's still many years from now, but the point is that those are assets in a draft year that people are looking at as, oh, that's a good year to have picks. Because if you can move up or anything like that, this might be the year to have multiple picks where you take a chance on a high school kid while also getting some college kids. You know what I mean? So the 23 draft, you know, it's smart to have as many assets as you can in that draft. And that's what they're doing here. So it's less about Ed Davis and more about these picks. And Bart, by the way, do you know who also could be draft eligible that year?
Draft eligible?
I don't even know what you're talking about, Shorty.
Baby LeBrick.
It could be Bronny James.
Yeah, Baby LeBrick.
Maybe you could finally get LeBron to come play for the Knicks. Man, I'm just saying. Like, the point is that you have to, like, looking at the moves, they go beyond the move, right? It's not just the face value of it. And so yesterday, that was kind of interesting. The rumors to me, this is where now I'm trying to get people to pump the brakes because, you know, I love Knicks fans. They just get so emotional so quick. And they want to they want all the good news. And I'd love to tell you, I'd love to say to you, Donovan Mitchell, who, by the way, today at 6 o'clock, or 6 o'clock Eastern, the Jazz can now offer him his max extension off his rookie deal. It starts at 6 o'clock today. They can do that. Like Giannis. Giannis will get his max extension. So 6 o'clock today, you can make that offer. I'd love to say, you know, I'm here and Donovan doesn't want to take the max and he not sure he wants to stay in Utah. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. I'm trying to get that. Because when you're telling me, like, you know, the Knicks are targeting, you know, Davis Bertans, I'm like, all right, that's fine. You know, I'm not here for that kind of stuff. Like, if you want that kind of stuff, just wait till they do it. Like, do you really need me to give you that in advance? Like, I'm going to tell you about Davis Bertans, that I'm going to tell you that hey, they might, you know, bring back, you know, Danilo Gallinari. Like, is that what you're here for? No, you're here for something that's earth-shattering, that's going to shake a franchise. So if I had that, I'd tell you.
So maybe like Hayward going back to Utah and them saying, okay, we're going to lose Donovan Mitchell, then he's not going to Utah.
Indiana's where Gordon wants to go.
I'm wishing.
Well, look, I that's the stuff. See, I'm looking
for that. Does that make Oladipo want to stay? Because now you think about Turner.
Do you get involved? Well, how about this part? Do you get involved in any way? Because, again, remember, Oladipo is an expiring. Do you get involved with Boston in a three-way sign-and-trade type thing where you end up getting Oladipo?
Listen, I can menage and twat my face off. I just don't know. Can we do three? Can we afford three?
We always can, Rico. But, you know, the other thing is maybe Boston would want to have Oladipo as part of them because they could use some scoring. There's a lot of thoughts to this. There's a lot of thoughts to it. I will say this, the Hayward stuff that's out there that people are asking me about, like you just did, Gordon Hayward, it's an awkward fit if you ask me. But if I'm coaching this team, I want some talent and I want some vets. So if I'm the front office, Gordon doesn't really fit my timeline right now, especially if I have to give him. He just walked away from $34 million. You think he's taking 18?
Yeah, he won't.
So obviously, I don't know if that fits the timeline. But if I'm a coach, I'm looking at my roster going, I have a bunch of guys who are 22 and under and no vets. I kind of need somebody that can put the ball in the basket. I need somebody who knows what they're doing. So it all depends on who wins that argument between those two with a guy like Hayward. But I'm not buying into that. And I already told you about Fred VanVleet. Are you ready to give him $117 million over 4 years?
Yeah.
You are? Some people are, some people aren't.
You know what? I don't know.
I mean, you got to get somebody. And when you're the Knicks, you unfortunately always have to overpay. And that's okay.
Why?
Because you have to overpay once.
That's the problem. Why? See, here's
because
what we're learning
is... if you get somebody for a discount, they're going to have flaws. But so, like, you don't if you get somebody that depends to choose you, then there's going to be flaws.
You
so
don't need to do that now. If you're not going to do the Russell Westbrook thing, which it doesn't sound like they are. That's the conversation from last week. That sort of it's no longer on the front burner, from what I understand. That third year was really the hiccup.
Okay,
it's again something that if I'm a coach, I want it, but if I'm a front office, I don't. Right, and that's the eternal battle: win now or win later.
So Russell contract is how much over 3 years? If 47 is the last one.
Yeah. It's like 143.
So if you're getting Van Fleet at 117 for 4 years, that's a discount to me. That's like a little bit over.
Well, it's half.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
If you think about it per year, it's almost, well, not half, but about 60% of it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So if you're looking at that, he checks all the boxes, right? He has his championship. He's a guy that feels like he should be a star, wants to lead his own team. Mm-hmm. He wants to be the face of a franchise. He wants to become a global brand. And right now, it's all about him winning and proving that he can win away from the guys that are the true leaders on that team, which is Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry's getting old, too, again. And if I'm Toronto, are you ready to let him walk? And I don't know. But I wouldn't mind. Again, Toronto's a rival of mine. I wouldn't mind it. I have the money. I'd rather just put the pressure on Toronto. Make them lock him up.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And if you end up getting him, you get him. But it's up to Fred VanVleet to want to come here. But I sure as hell know he'd want to at least use me as leverage to get what he wants to stay in Toronto, right?
Right.
But maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's like, you know what? I'm in T.O., kind of nobody.
He's got
like, I think I can have a bigger profile. I do have a lot of people like me around this league. If I go to New York and I'm part of this young group, he's only 26. If I'm part of this younger group and I become more of that leader, if I can emerge here with these guys, how does my profile go up even more? He might be thinking that's about all that stuff.
That's why I left the Ravens. To be honest, Ravens. I left the Ravens because I wanted to have an opportunity to lead my own team.
Because you felt like you were under the shadow there because of the big names on the defense.
Yeah, no matter what I was going to, no matter what I did, it was always going to be because Ray led me, or he led me to do it. He inspired me. He made me believe. I'm like, no. I'm my own person, right? So I don't want to be little Ray Lewis, or you know, in his eyes, he doesn't want to be little Kyle Lowry, right? Because no matter what, he's the native son. You know, he was the homegrown product. He's the guy that they gave credit to for that championship, not because Van Fleet played his ass off, not because he made big timely shots, not because he emerged and he played the biggest when the lights were the brightest. Mm-hmm. So he might say, you know what? Nobody knows me over here, man. This is Canada. You know, how far spaced out major cities are away from each other. I want to be on TV. I want to go to New York and make a name for myself, because guess what? I think that maybe this Toronto team is past their window, as we're going to lose Siakam. Maybe they're going to lose Serge Ibaka. They're going to start losing some pieces. Kyle Lowry's getting older. I'd rather go here where expectations are low and I can exceed expectations when I go to New York, because I got a young team that I can be the leader of. They're going to look to me with that gleam in their eyes. I'm going to be the only one there on that team with a championship. They're going to believe in me. They're going to say, hey, how do you get it done? And I'm going to get all the credit for what everybody else does. And, man, it's New York. It can set me up for life after sports. It can set me up for life, you know, and make me a national brand. If I can get them to the playoffs, you know, I'll be shining and I'll make all this money and endorsements and all the business connections I can make. Those are real conversations that I would be having if I'm Leon Rose and talking.
It's a great perspective. No, from your, because you are very relatable to him. Undrafted players who became stars. You became a Pro Bowler despite the fact you were undrafted, and then was drafted onto a team with a lot of stars already on that defense, and yet you emerged as one, and easily could have stayed there to be part of that culture that is obviously a winning culture and had success and would have been fine. But you wanted to chase your own dream and your own way, and you obviously followed a coach that you knew very well. So all that stuff's relatable, but I also do think that Toronto would be crazy to let him go. Mm-hmm. And I do think, for everything that I've seen, they plan to prioritize him, but there still is that question of, what does prioritize mean to you? You know, like, is prioritize, we're going to give you the amount of money that you think you're worth, that's more than another place? Yeah, and then obviously it leaves it up to Fred VanVleet to see, you know, would a team like the Knicks want him? Now, I don't even know. Like, here's the other thing. I'm not even sure that the Knicks look at VanVleet as, that's where we want to put all our money, but I don't know if I think they have to find some guys who are veteran players who can at least provide cover for this young team without taking over.
Right.
I just think
this isn't a supermax, though, Alan. This isn't that crazy, absurd contract.
No, it's not. Actually, you think about it, relatively speaking, it's fairly reasonable, and he'll be 30 when it's over. It's not like he's past his prime. He's right in his prime.
And here's the issue and the fine line that Toronto has to walk. You don't want to offend Kyle Lowry where the fact where you give this guy way more money than him, he's like, I'm the leader on this team, because then he's going to ask to re-up. He's going to be uncomfortable with his contract. So if you're the Knicks, you just push it slightly to a number where it makes it uncomfortable for Van Fleet to walk in there and be the highest paid player in that locker room. And then you got guys like Lowry and Siakam, Siakam saying, hold on, I'm a little bit better than him.
Yeah.
There's no way that they should be making more money than me. It's kind of like that conversation that Revis had with Bill Belichick when he was like, hey, man, Bill, I want $15 million or $16 million. He's like, Tom makes 10. Like, what? He's like, you know what? I know I ain't going to be here.
that's great. Well, I mean, that's a great point, though. And that's how you always do it. When you have a great player on your team, undisputed great player, and he takes less, it ruins it for everybody.
Because
whenever you're trying to get paid, you're always like, are you better than him?
Yeah.
Then you're not getting that. Like, that's like, you're not going ahead of him. If he's taking less, everybody's taking less.
Larry makes 20. Like,
each. That's like, awesome.
Ain't Larry.
800-919-3776. Let's get the calls involved in this. We do have to talk. Hey, I don't know if you noticed, but the Jets didn't play last week, but they are going to play this week. So
the New York Jets.
And when you heard what Mark Sanchez said in relation to how he can relate to Sam Darnold and something he said just earlier this week, real interesting. Now, you guys were together on Get Up this morning. We wanted to have him on, but he felt bad. He had to get on a plane.
Yeah.
He's getting out of town, so unfortunately he can't join us live.
But he does college football.
Yeah, so again, we had some Jets and NFL. Blitzer Prevent will do at noon, and we've got four games, must-watch. Week 11.
That's cute.
That's awesome. And we want to get calls involved in this as well. And as we hear rumors and what's going on and everything with the Knicks, I invite you to call in and ask me directly, because there's so many. I cannot respond to all the tweets. It's hard to. And I know so many of you had questions, and there's some things that are just, I can't answer them.
One business thing, call in the show. Yeah, one business thing we have to take care of, though, because we didn't tell them where the tweet is at. So it's at Barton Hahn.
That's cool.
And then Instagram is at Barton Hahn. Mm-hmm. And Bill, tell them where the hell else they can do
it. Snapface, Instant Chat, or whatever it is.
Totally forgot about that. My bad. All right, let's get the calls. You know what? We have James in Spring Valley. He's been on hold for 72 hours.
Wow.
That's a record.
That is actually a long record. 72 hours, but hey, you guys made me want it. I apologize for yesterday. I got to wait my turn. I don't want to be prioritizing taking all the other callers. So sorry, other callers. My apologies. And sorry to you, Alan and Bart.
Well, it's all good. You know how we know you're on hold? I don't have to look at the call screen. I just get 800 tweets from you and the other guys that are in your
and
podcast.
And Big Steve, yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
It's all good. What's up?
Because I'm so thirsty right now.
I do have a question. I think Bart can answer this. Obviously, I think you guys heard the Giants just had three more players tested positive for COVID. I'm Kurt Pettis and Caden Smith.
Right.
So my big concern is with this COVID outbreak. I know the NFL has been chugging along and doing what they can, but now you're seeing cases rising up and total calls being up. How is this going to affect going forward? And locally, how is it going to affect the Giants? Because Pert has been a big part of that offensive line since Colombo is gone. So now you got Gooks coming in, and now Pert's not going to be playing likely against Cincinnati. Well, how is it going to affect the Giants?
You got
a big part of that line.
You got it. They don't play this week, so that helps.
Right.
And so I don't think it's going to be an issue for the next game. I just think for right now, it's something that they're dealing with. But Bart, has the league has just kind of endured through this. Like, it's almost, I don't want to equate it to like when somebody gets a PED suspension.
Right.
But when we start getting these COVID things, like Myles Garrett, he will miss this weekend's game. Now, that's a big deal for the Browns. He will miss this weekend's game. And if you're a Giants fan, it matters to you as well. But so that affects them immediately because he won't be able to play. But it feels like the league is just kind of taking it and moving forward. Like, okay, it's happening, but we just keep going forward. It's like what Rocky says at the beginning of our show.
Yeah, exactly. They're figuring out ways, and you also have the Raiders as well that's dealing with it. They've dealt with it a couple of times this year, and they isolate the player, and because they kind of separate them a lot, and they're not players aren't really together a lot in practice. You haven't seen this mass spread, even though when we had the scare about the kid, I think the guy Brown from the Raiders who was the one who got the air in the IV and all that stuff.
Right.
Even with that, he didn't infect anybody else because they kind of keep everybody away from each other. And even then, when you talk about the lockers, they got the plexiglass that you heard Aaron Rodgers talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So like you try and limit the exposure. And they've done a good job of that. And, you have to be prepared if you're a team this year to potentially have to play without one or two players. Because we saw it happen with Stephen Gilmore. We saw it happen with Cam Newton. It's going to happen to the best of them. That's why it's incumbent on everybody being respectful and responsible when it comes to making sure that you're doing all the proper things and going through the proper protocols.
It's like the show must go on. That's essentially how the NFL has handled it, and it's gotten them already to week 11. Now they have to get obviously to the finish line, but the NBA is already ready to start as football will be heading into their playoffs. So the NBA has gone through a bubble, and now they're going to be going through the same thing as well as they travel and play in arenas. Jose is in the Bronx. Jose,
hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, man?
All right, so I'm going to stay with the Knicks for a quick second, man. I was listening yesterday, and you guys were talking about Obi Toppin and how he's not that good defensively. But in his college career, he averaged 1.4 blocks.
Rim protection,
and
1.6
steals.
Yeah, but the knock, we were saying yesterday, Jose, the knock on him has been his ability to defend as an NBA defender, which means you're not just going to meet people at the rim. It's also about defending on the perimeter, switching off. Do you get caught in pick and roll? As Bart and I have talked about, when you're a bad offensive lineman, and Chris Canty told me this, and I love the saying, you're the fish. They fight over who gets to go up against you, and they just because they know you're easy, right? You're easy to get past him and get to the quarterback. The same thing happens in the NBA. Right. You find the bad defender, and you do all the switches until you get him one-on-one on your best offensive player, and you destroy him. And you don't want that to happen to Obi Toppin. So can you fix it? We had his college coach on who also talked about his defense. And I talked to Obi draft night about the same exact thing, and he admitted it too. That, yeah, I know it's a knock on me, and it's something I have to prove and I got to work on. So it's just something that was part of the there's always a negative about every player, and that's the drawbacks on him. That's the con on drafting him is the concern about his ability to defend at this level. But there's no concern about his ability to score at this level. People believe he will be a guy that can get buckets, so you'll live with it.
Right. Okay, I got one more quick thing to take. I don't want to take too much of you guys' time.
Go for it.
Now, Carmelo Anthony to the Knicks again? Why not?
Only if they, I don't see Melo coming here on his own.
Another forward.
The only way you sign him is if there's a couple of other vets that would be here that would allow him to come in as an extra instead of, let's put it this way. And thanks for the call, Jose. Bart, if the Knicks really don't do anything major here, like if I told you like maybe Bertans, maybe something like that. Either Bertans or Portis comes back and they find a guard, like, just a run of the mill, right? Guard.
Rondo.
Whatever. No, not even Rondo. Like a whatever. Melo coming in would be the biggest name. And everybody then would say, oh, Carmelo. And then it's the worst thing for him.
Yep.
I think he's got to come in here as an extra piece, and then it's a different story. But if he comes to the Knicks and he's the biggest name, that makes that brings too much attention to him. And then we go back to the same thing. Melo's saving the Knicks, the savior. And he's not. He's not that at this point in his career. So I'd love to see him finish it here, but that's not in that way because you know what that narrative would become, and I'm trying to avoid that. I did not fix the headphone issue that I've got going on here, Bart. I'm not happy about it. But I did get, we've got tremendous listeners, and I want to shout out the right people. Because as I showed my broke down beats, that I think that they've lasted 5 years. 5 years is a pretty good run when you think about I use them 5 days a week. So you'd say 5 years is a pretty good run for studio headphones, right?
depends on your wear and tear. Are you a neat guy?
No, I'm no. I don't treat things.
You're
well.
Hard on them. You're hard on them. Yeah.
Phrasing.
That's not really appropriate to ask, but okay.
You beat it up, right? I mean, beat them up, right?
Phrasing.
I don't know if that's really the way I'd want to put it either. Making me very uncomfortable right now. So I want to shout out Mario though, because Mario sent me a message saying that I need to get some Sennheisers.
Oh.
And I wasn't aware of Sennheisers, and I looked them up, and they
get off my lawn.
Is it that bad? Are they like old man headphones? Studio headphones. I mean, they're pretty good. But then I got also another message. And I just, like I said, I want to make sure I get... These are all listeners of ours, and they're awesome. And his name is Jay. It's only Jay, but Jay Johnson Peralta. And he told me about... he was trying to get me to go get like Apple headphones, which I told him we kind of need them to be wired. So then he told me about Bose. So now I'm kind of going back and forth. Do I stick with Beats? Do I go with the Sennheisers and like lay out extra cash?
Yeah.
Or do I go with the Bose?
It's whoever's going who gonna put some respect on our put some respect on the title of his name, put some respect on our followers and our listeners that will support the company that support the company that support the Barton Hahn Show, because like we that. The hottest thing in since sliced bread, and we listen, y'all just don't know yet.
Is that what it is? They just don't know. I don't know, but that's it. Like, I never used to think about this stuff. Headphones are headphones, just whatever's available. Like, that used to be the way at the studio. You just, whatever was available. And then you realize that I'm putting something on my ear that somebody else was putting on their ear. And that's gross.
It's like, hey.
I got my own. They were a gift. And so they were Beats. And they were really good studio Beats. And they were great. And they broke. I got to get new ones. And I've never had to shop for headphones before, which is why I'm just looking for some intel. You know what I'm saying?
Long as it's not the one with the styrofoam over the top. Remember the old school plug-in joint? It had like the Walkman. The microphone cover.
So I just get the Walkman, the old 80s Walkman ones, when they turn color after a while. Because
exactly. They start turning like that light, the black start turning brown.
that's kind of gross, too. Right, it's a Friday here in New York City. By the way, a week
it's
from
effing
now,
Fridays.
It is. And a week from now, we're Thanksgiving break.
That's crazy. That's crazy. We got Thanksgiving off, right?
Yes, we do. Don't we? Do we have that Friday off, too?
I don't know. Maybe we're requesting it right now. I don't know.
Yeah. Are you on Get Up that Friday morning? You better not be. If Greeny's there on Get Up on Friday morning, I'd be shocked.
You know,
he's a workaholic, so maybe
I'm the others. It's only 2 hours. I think I am. I think I'm on Wednesday and Thursday. I don't know if I'm on
Friday. After Thanksgiving is the sleep-in, is the greatest sleep-in day ever.
I tell you what, my wife makes the greatest thing was she makes this like mac and cheese, like 35,000 different cheese in it. Like, if it feels it's the most dense thing.
Not three cheese mac and cheese, it's like 8,000 cheese mac and cheese.
It probably weighs about 110 pounds. That's how heavy it is. I don't know what is in there. Ooh. But then she also makes this sage dressing. And I've always loved it. I don't know how she make it, where she got the recipe from. But, you know, the sage sauce, she puts sage sausage inside of it. So as you're eating sage sauce, the dressing or stuffing, depending on who you are, what part of the country you grew up in.
Yeah.
Eating the sage sausage inside, it's got this smoky, earthy, like, taste of the sage, and you're chewing the meat of the sausage, like the Italian sausages. You know, those are the days where I, like, you know, I remember why I married you.
Those are the days?
You know what I'm saying?
Now, this once a year. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. That's why we talked about I won't go too deep into it. I never understand LaGreca's rant about turkey on Thanksgiving.
He said tripping.
Love turkey.
It's what makes it special. If you get it all the time, then you don't appreciate it. That's why I don't go to Boston Market all the time, because I ain't supposed to eat no damn turkey and gravy, but only three, four times a year. Max.
It's an effort. And everybody's telling me yesterday, they were tweeting at me about how all you have to do is fry it. It's real easy. Oh, yeah, because we all have, like, these gigantic fryers in our house that are just so convenient. Let me just throw it in the fryer for a while I go walk the dogs.
And, some peanut oil. Where am I going to get 2 gallons of peanut oil?
What are you talking about? Who's got time for that? I mean,
It's like with that, like, we got probably, what, probably about 100 million people out of the world that probably live in apartment complexes. Or let's be concerned. 75 million people out of 300 million people that live in America, they can't cook. a turkey. They can't use a turkey fryer. And don't tell me this old electrical bull crap.
By the way, how many restaurants
work and it can't handle a big one?
How many restaurants do you go to where it's like on the menu is turkey?
Only one is Popeyes. You can order only during Thanksgiving.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, but that's because it's Thanksgiving. That's the point. Like, Arby's doing the same thing. I'm just saying, like, in general, when you go to a restaurant, you'll get your steaks, right? You'll have different chicken. You'll have seafood. You'll have your pasta. That you never see turkey.
Only at State
it's
Fair.
Special.
Only place you get is State Fair. And that's horrible.
Turkey legs. Oh, oh yeah, baby.
And Disney World.
All right, let's get to this again. We got calls to get to as well, but I want to get to this as well. This is from... I want to get the name right. It's the Gang's All Here podcast, New York Post. Brian Costello does a good job, even though he's on the other station. I don't care. I like him. He's a good beat writer. But it's your boy Mark Sanchez, and he's talking about how he can relate to what Sam Darnold's going through, and he takes it a little step further. Take a listen to this.
I feel like it's pretty similar circumstances with, you know, new coaching staffs and new general managers. A lot of moving parts around him, and that's, you know, usually a recipe for disaster in this league. The idea is to get, you know, some continuity, some consistency with your playmakers around you. One, you got to get the playmakers, then you got to keep them for a while or as long as you possibly can with all the free agency moves and contracts and all that. But part of it, you know, is there's just nothing working in their favor right now, right? I mean, it's not a, you know, real veteran group. It's not guys who played together for a long time. And there isn't just a star-studded cast that kind of can figure it out or just use their talent and make plays, right? So it's really the triple threat in the wrong direction. So they, you know, they have a ton of room to grow, and they have some picks coming up here that look like, you know, this could be the spot, whether Gase is the answer or they move in a different direction, you know, who knows? But there's just so much uncertainty that it's, you know, it's almost impossible for a quarterback to have success with all those circumstances.
So he's laying it out there for Sam that it's just all working against you, and that maybe, you know, he goes on to say maybe it's best for Sam to just move on.
Yeah,
you know, if they're gonna get Trevor Lawrence anyway, you know what? Just tell them, get me out of here.
And, you know, but they may not be able to get him out here as quickly as possible because his draft value isn't high enough. And Mark had to live with this. You know, I think one of the crazy things that he said was getting weapons and keeping weapons. Because remember, at the height of Mark Sanchez, he had Dustin Keller, tremendous catching pass receiving tight end. He had Leon Washington. He had Braylon Edwards. He has Santonio Holmes. Then what happened is they had to make a decision. Do we keep Santonio or do we keep Braylon? They let Braylon go, and then Braylon was the heartbeat because he was not only dominant in the receiving game, he was a tremendous run blocker. So when Mark lost that, then it put more on Mark's shoulders because we weren't getting the averages in the running game that we needed or we were accustomed to getting to put him in favorable down and distances so that he continued to struggle. And then the lasting image of Mark is him throwing to Stephen Hill and then some other dudes that I had never heard of before.
Yeah.
You know, down
the field. You have bad draft picks who didn't pan out, obviously. And also,
right. All on the defensive side of the ball, too.
But yeah, I'll tell you, and there was a lot of defensive draft picks as well in a row there. But I wish we could have gotten Mark on. And he felt terrible he couldn't come home with us. But I feel like it's not the same thing because at least Mark stepped into a situation
where... he stepped into the best situation.
It was a veteran group around him, and he could grow and just kind of... They didn't need a lot from him. Things fell apart when they just didn't do the right thing. You've got to be able to manage your roster, and they did a bad job of managing the roster. That's all it was. Guys got older. You moved on from some of the vets. You had to replace them. You didn't do a good job of it, and the draft didn't help you either. So it's not the same thing. Sam was drafted into this and was waiting for them to build around him, and they haven't done it. Yeah. And now they're ready to move on from him, mainly not to his fault or anybody else. It's just when you get the number one pick and the quarterback coming out of college might be better than the guy you have, of course you draft that guy. Of course you do. So again, they could win a couple of games here and screw it up. Jacksonville plays this weekend as well.
They play Steelers, so good luck with that.
Yeah, well, you never know. Another trap game for the Steelers, of course. But you know, bottom line is that I don't think it's the same, but it isn't easy for Sam. And now you're watching, if you're a Jets fan, you're watching a couple other young guys, but it's not Sam. We're still not watching Sam. We're at week 11, and we really haven't seen a lot of him this season again. And that's, I think, starting to build up to a frustration. I don't think fans have been able to connect to Sam Darnold as our guy. He's been here 3 years, and I don't feel like I've watched him nearly enough.
Yeah, that's true.
So he hasn't been available, and so I don't have an emotional connection to him because I just haven't seen him play enough to feel like that's our guy. And so because I'm ready to move on from him only because I don't even know what I got. So that's a little bit different than what Mark was talking about. Let's grab one call here real quick. We got a bunch of calls. I want to get to as many as I can. Let's go. Edwin in Tribeca. Edwin.
Hey, happy football Friday, guys.
What's happening, Edwin?
Friday night Knicks. Happy Friday night Knicks. Hopefully we get something
good. The beginning of the turnaround, baby.
We'll see.
I just want to ask Bart a question before I get into the Knicks. Bart, with the additions this week, who should I look out for with the Jets picking up a couple of positions this week?
Are you talking about for fantasy and something like that?
Oh, I'm sorry, for the Jets.
Yeah, but you're talking about fantasy, right? Who should you pick up?
Oh, no. I'm talking about they picked up, I believe, a position or two.
Oh, yeah. Well, what you want to see is you want to watch Bryce Hall and see if he can be that lockdown, shutdown corner. You want to see if Mims continues to grow. And this week, I'm really concerned, or I really want to see if Flacco, who got Perriman involved, who got Mims involved, can he start to take advantage, I believe, of the best receiver that they have right now, and that's Crowder. Let's see if they can enter. He can get all those guys involved. That's going to be the key because they're going to have to, you know, put up points against this like efficient, effective passing game from Herbert. So you can't just say we're going to run the ball, try and win an ugly game. This game's going to be a bit of a shootout. To do that, they're going to have to open up the playbook. They're going to have to take a lot of shots down the field and get some easy scores because Bosa on one side. You want to see Bosa. It's crazy, right? Because Mekhi Becton's been hurt off and on this season. But I think anybody that looks at him knows that he's one of the best tackles in the game. And so this whole push for him going to the Pro Bowl, if he adds Bosa and Ingram to that list of guys that he just shut down and stifled, he'll get that vote. And we'll have something really to celebrate around here. You'd never want to beat a team with no Pro Bowlers.
Thanks, Evan. We got to run here to a break. Appreciate you. Hey, Bart. Are you looking forward to getting back to work at SNY this weekend?
I started last night.
Really, that's funny. Hope that would be a little more enthusiastic.
No. What I'm saying is, I started last night, man. You know what I'm saying? And yep. I'm trying to build up the excitement.
It's different doing the preview show. Everybody's optimistic and happy. It's all what can happen?
I'm excited.
Post game, you look like you're ready to kill people.
Yes, just
handing F's out.
I really am. But I'm telling you what, last time I saw the Jets, I didn't hand out F's because they look good against the Patriots.
Fair point.
Can I call them the Patriots now? The Patriots. You know what I mean? Yeah, the Patriots. So I'm excited because I know that this is the third time that Flacco's going to get an opportunity to work with this group.
Mm-hmm.
So defensively, they show me a lot of effort. I want to see what this young corner is all about. And I want to see what's his name? Gooby Gaga?
That's how you say it.
I want to see it. I want to see
them. I want you to say it like that on the postgame, too.
I want to see the next step, man. So I am excited.
I love the way you pronounce names. You know, people don't realize this. I don't like correcting you on the air. There's times I have to, just help you. But there's other times where it's just better I just let you just completely butcher the name. It's more fun.
When you use "butt," you set me up for the butt. I can say Bryce Hall. That's a good old easy American name. Listen, when you start getting to the Swahili names and stuff like that, I don't know. See, I don't know how to roll my R's. So when I see Spanish names, I don't know what the hell to say.
Why can't you have an American name?
Yeah, I thought it was a J. I didn't know a J was silent. Like, I ain't calling this man Jesus. I can't call him Jesus. Jesus. Okay, that's different. But why is it spelled like Jesus? Because in the Bible, it says that means Jesus. So that's the same word. So now
Baker Mayfield said now.
Right. So
he's rolling silence like lasagna.
The crazy thing is, I feel like I'm in a spelling bee sometimes when I see some of these names. And I'm like, especially with when you got the Polynesian names. I'm like, listen, I need to say, okay, Bart Scott, spell Haloli Nada. Okay, origin of word, please. can you use it in a sentence?
That's not that hard.
Well, I just said an easy one. I didn't say Mike Kiamako, which one of my teammates. I didn't say that one. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, hold up, man.
Dude, I spent so many times.
Just Russian.
Antetokounmpo was something that just it took time. But you have to put the effort in, right?
Even to Tungavailoa. Like, you got to get used to it, right? Giannis name, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. How about Indonimasu?
See, I can say that. Indomitian Sue. I can say that because
very good.
I, That's because I was in New. That was because I was in Detroit, and I've heard it said. But if I would have just saw it off the rip, nah, no chance.
Who's the backup quarterback for Clemson?
I said, I ain't going to try that. I call him by his first name. See, this is crazy. I can only imagine, like, you and hockey.
Yeah, too.
Like, hockey's like that, too. Saying some Russian names. Listen, man, I need Rosetta Stone.
Forget it. Hockey? Oh, yeah. You'd never. Hockey was, like, insane. There were just times you were like, nope.
Yep, I ain't going to do it.
Right? Like, you know, Chance the Rapper, when he does that, right? When they turn Brady Shea around, he goes, nope. Yeah, that's a nope.
Jonathan, what's your song?
Speaking of the Jets post game, so SNY and 98.7 ESPN have a Jets prize package for you. Tune into SNY, TV home of the Jets, for Jets Post Game Live, starring Bart Scott. Jonas Schwartz, who has all the... See, Jonas Schwartz, if you looked at his last name...
See, I can say Schwartz because I remember Spaceballs.
Jonas Schwartz has seven letters in his last name and only one vowel.
But remember Spaceballs?
Yeah.
Schwartz, be with you. See, so... You know,
Janae Coakley as well is on the show following Sunday's game against the Chargers. So catch the Jets' quote of the game. Then you tune into our show starting at 11 on Monday for your chance to win official Jets merchandise. It's the best thing about the Jets these days. Courtesy of 98.7 ESPN and SNY. Jets postgame live only on SNY.
Get your New York sports here.
Oh, yeah, baby. All right, let's grab a call or two. 800-919-3776. More Knicks. Lots of Knicks calls today. I'm liking this. James in Newburg. James Newberg.
Hey, Bart, Hunt, a big fan of your show.
Thank you.
I actually have 2 points, if you allow me. The first one is, I totally agree with you with Sam Darnold. I think this guy has psychologically kind of checked out. I think he sees the writing on the wall with Lawrence coming in. And
I hope not.
This guy hasn't been on the field, so, I don't think no Jet fan is going to be sorry to see him go, unfortunately. And on the Knicks, I really think that's a great idea, them getting Van Cleef, if possible, man. This guy's a scrapper. You know, he came, like you said, undrafted. You know, he's worked hard for what he's gotten in life, as far as professionally. And I think he'll be a great influence in the Jets locker room. What do you guys think?
I think all those things make sense when you're talking about Van Vliet. The Sam thing, I'll say this quickly, Bart, and I'll let you talk on the Sam thing. On Sam, I'll say this. It's not that as a fan you won't miss him. If you get Trevor Lawrence, you'll be excited about the new core, the shiny new toy. But there'll always be that feeling of what's he going to become, and will we regret not being able to develop him into something? But that's only if Trevor Lawrence turns into the star everybody thinks he's going to be. Yeah, you'll quickly forget about him. But and then Van Vliet, and thanks for the call, Van Vliet. I'll say this: all those things he said, yes, he fits all. He checks all those boxes. It's the contract that, you know. Are you willing to go that long? That 4 year, 117, and is Toronto willing to let him go? I don't think Toronto is going to let him go, so I think this will all be just... This is a fun conversation that by Monday will be like, hey, remember when you thought Fred VanVleet would come to the Knicks? But yeah. What do you think about what he said about Sam? Where fans won't miss him when he's gone.
Well, they won't miss him as much because they haven't got an opportunity to see him dominate or have these, you know, periods of time where he looks just amazing and saying, we got a quarterback. They're still unsure of themselves. Because for every great play, you can arguably say that the best football that Sam Darnold played was his first rookie year when he went head-to-head against Aaron Rodgers, when he went against that vaunted Houston Texans team, and he was, you know, moving around, the invisible juice, and then he closed the show with the Buffalo Bills. And then when you ask yourself, you say, damn, that was 3 years ago.
I know.
Like, wow. Like, we had the moments that we're speaking of were 3 years ago. And we don't have those memories because last year he struggled with, you know, coming back from mono. And this year he's missed just as many games, you know, because of the shoulder injury. This makes 3 games. So it's like we don't know what our guy has.
22% of the games in his career.
That's what concerns you as well, because you're saying, what if we give this guy a lot of money and then, you know, a lot of money sitting on the bench because they can't stay available? You know, a lot of guys, like, you know, some quarterbacks just never miss games, no matter what. We've seen Eli. We've seen Peyton. We've seen Tom outside the catastrophic injury that he had. We see, like, Russell Wilson. Like, guys that you can just pencil into the spot. Mm-hmm. And Sam Darnold's young in his career, and it's like, man, you can't even stay on the damn field. Like, usually when you get older, you don't get healthier. You know what I mean? So it's like, man, you have some concern. You're saying, hey, maybe if we go with Trevor Lawrence, we can reset it. But if Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback and better than Sam Darnold, is equally as bad, you don't feel bad because you set your clock back.
Yeah,
now, if Sam Darnold goes out and becomes Ryan Tannehill, and then you look at and Trevor Lawrence becomes Jamarcus Russell or Blaine Gabbert
or
Ponder or Locker, then you go kick yourself in the face.
Are there more examples? Yeah, that's the question, and we'll move on from here. 800-919-3776. But I'll leave you with this. Are there more quarterbacks taken? Let's say even say top three. Are there more quarterbacks taken top three that were what you mentioned? Those the Jamarcus Russells, the Ponders, like people that never panned out versus the ones that became absolute superstars. That's the question.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.